Yo, 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 and welcome back to Creeps and Crimes
Podcast.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Morgan. Happy Thursday and happy episode
182. CEO of Comfort.
That's
is you.
Fucking crazy. Yeah, this week I am the CEO of just absolute comfort.
Vibes.
I went to work today in Taylor's big giant fluffy robe. Yep.
Yep.
And I was refusing to take it off.
Yep.
For the first like 30 minutes of my shift. Granted, I was in a car driving elsewhere, but I was like, yeah, this is going to stay on because one, I don't know where my winter coat is. Two, I wasn't expecting it to be 25 degrees this morning. That's insane.
I have a funny story about this morning, actually.
Oh, tell me.
So Logan wakes me up and he opens up all the windows, but it's dark outside, right? Because time change. Mm-hmm. He gets me a coffee and he wakes me up and he turns on the news. Perfect recipe. That's exactly right. How I love. And he rubbed my back, wake me up. I'm like, this is a great
day. I love to get woken up like that every morning. Every morning mine's always looking at me. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go.
Normally mine is Nona standing on my chest and my alarm going off. So this is a special surprise.
This is nice.
Because especially since we moved into this house, I have been the first one up. Logan has not been the first one up. So this was a nice little surprise I had. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I didn't even look at my phone, you know, whatever. We're just watching the news and we're chit-chatting. And he's, you know, being like, all right, babe, you got to get woken up. I'm like, all right. Well, watching the news, Good Morning America, they have the time in the bottom left. It's 6 o'clock in the morning.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. And I asked, what time is it? It's 7. No, bitch, it's 6. Which he had woken 5. Up and tricked me. He had pulled a dirty, dirty, dirty little trick on me and woken me up. And I didn't look at my phone because I trusted him. So I was like, this is so nice. I thought maybe my alarm had woken him up and it didn't wake me up and that he turned it off for me, got up out of the bed, came to my bedside table, turned it off, went and got me coffee. No. So I'm like, why would you do this to me?
Yeah, I had an extra hour of sleep.
I could have slept extra. Like, not that it matters. I want to wake up earlier, but like.
That's too early. I think 6 a.m. is for the birds and the birds only.
Well, here's my issue. Now in this routine from working from home and with what we do, I can do so much of what I do in the beginning of the day on my phone. Mm-hmm. I can sit on my phone and I love my bedroom windows better than I like the windows up here. Whereas in the old house, I like the windows in my old office better than I like the windows in the bedroom.
Yeah, but you can do all that at 7 a.m. Yeah, 6 a.m. is for the birds.
But hold on.
Write it down.
Here's
Remember
my issue.
It.
I will lay in bed until 11 on my phone, responding to emails, DMing people, editing TikToks, doing all that shit. And I won't get up. And Logan will come down and be like, are you going to go up? I'm like, I got my computer right here on my phone. I don't need to.
The convenience of Apple.
But what happened because of that, I ended up getting up at like getting out of the bed and getting ready at 8:30.
Oh,
and was
nice.
Completely ready for the day. And I was like, you know what? I like this. I think I'm going to keep it. I didn't do my makeup yet. I just like put on my clothes, went upstairs. And then later on, I finally done my makeup and I got on the call, the live with everyone that was on my live today. And Arletta ended up joining me because I was talking
was
about
she sleeping?
The royal family. Yeah, she was literally in bed. I was talking about the royal family. And then she was in there commenting that I had a bunch of UK listeners of ours in there.
You know, I didn't get a single notification that you went live. Well,
it wasn't on Creeps and Crimes.
Yeah, but I still would have gotten it for you.
Yeah, that's weird.
But
I have
my work
off.
Thing on. Yeah.
Yeah. But like it was, we ended up going on this like whole rampage talking about the conspiracies going on with mm-hmm. Kate Middleton, which if you would indulge me, I would love to take us down that ride.
Right now. Or should we do it for What's New Wednesday?
We'll still do it for What's New Wednesday.
But no, I feel like we have to save that.
Well, no, because there's articles that need to be read in What's New Wednesday, but I want to catch up because this will be a week later. So Patreon's going to know what's up. But do you have anything that you want to talk about in the intro?
No, not on spot. I was just seeing where the conversation flowed. I don't know enough to speak on the Kate Middleton
okay,
thing.
Okay, don't speak.
I have not had the time to go down. And I've seen little videos here and there. Yeah. I saw about the Photoshop picture.
That's the biggest thing right now is that A, there's a Photoshop picture that went out so bad that the AP, Associated Press, mm-hmm. came out and was like, you cannot share this picture. It's been heavily doctored. We don't even know that it's real. And her ring's not on in it.
And, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And the outfits, when you compare, like take the color away, it looks like this one event that they did back in November. But that is besides the point. There's this whole entire thing about why she, me and you talked about it a little bit earlier, But the deal right now that we were all discussing, which we'll discuss in deeper detail on What's New Wednesday, is about the fact that Pippa, her sister, is ex-boyfriend, like the last guy she dated before she got married to her current husband. His name was Thomas Kingston. He was found dead in his parents' $3 million home. That was in the article, like noted. I'm like, okay.
When?
On February 25th, from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head.
This year.
February 25th. February 27th. I could have my dates wrong on this, but we'll confirm in What's New Wednesday. February 27th is when that event happened that Prince William missed, and it was for personal matters. And then on the 29th, they came out and they're like, it's not with Kate. Kate's fine. Everything's fine with Kate. But it was all around that whole time that the cancer diagnosis for King Charles came out, mm-hmm. and all of that. But what's crazy about it is that, like, people don't believe that he actually ended his own life. People believe it was a hit. Absolutely. Because he just recently got married.
So this is her sister's
ex-boyfriend that she almost married. Yeah.
That Pippa. Almost married.
That Pippa almost married, yes.
So the articles for, like, the doctored picture, though, I mean, I believe that 100%.
Yeah.
The articles for the doctored picture, I was so confused because I was like, who the fuck is Catherine Middleton?
That's another thing that we were talking about. Why all of a sudden are we calling her Catherine?
I'm like, because I don't know a Catherine with a C.
Well, see, and then I was asking Kate, one of our listeners who's from the UK that was on the live this morning. I was like, see, like, in the States, like, if you're Catherine with a C, you're Kate with a C.
Right.
And if you're Catherine with a K, then you're Kate with a K.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, in the UK, if you're Catherine, you're Kate with a K. Even if it's with a C.
I was so confused. But I'm like, why does she have a twin?
So then I was pulling up all these articles when we were on this live this morning, and every other one refers to her as Kate Middleton. Never once are they referring to her as Catherine. So then I started this crazy conspiracy theory, just me. I was like, this is a crazy one. I'm going to let it go. And we're all going to leave it. And it's crazy. And everyone did agree that this is crazy.
Oh, you have to tell me now.
That I think Catherine is a stunt double.
Interesting.
Because, like, why are we referring to the person in this photo when we all know her as Kate Middleton and she's always written up in articles as Kate Middleton? Why are we referring to this one AI looking ass photo, photoshopped ass photo, Catherine. As Catherine? I didn't even know that was her government name.
But I also, like, on the photo, like, I understand it was doctored, but, like, it wasn't.
It's little things. And it's like things where I'm like, okay, maybe, like, there was a toy in the, like, background.
Like it wasn't, like, you know, a photographer that went in or an editor that went in and edited. Like, that looks like an AI photo to me.
Exactly. Because
it is those little things in AI.
Mm-hmm.
But which I saw a lot of people commenting on the fact that this should be the norm, where press releases and, like, news reports, like, they have to go through and validate each photograph because of how serious AI could potentially be.
Right.
And how many problems it could cause.
And it was sent out, by Catherine. Kate,
which is crazy.
And she claimed it. She was like, yeah, I did doctor that photo. Well, then put out the original one.
Yeah, something's going on.
Something's,
I mean,
weird.
Nostradamus has been telling us that.
The biggest thing that everyone's, like, really also concerned about, other than the fact that she admitted that it was doctor all this stuff, is that she just doesn't have a ring on in it. But, like, maybe her fucking, she hasn't had it on since the surgery and she just forgot. Jesus Christ, I haven't had my ring on for 3 weeks.
Or maybe she, like, was retaining a lot of fluid or something and she couldn't fit. Fit her hands.
Exactly.
Right,
she had surgery, whatever. And so I keep going back and, like, playing devil's advocate because you guys know that we're not conspiracy theorists, like, truly. Like, I mean, we are.
Well, we are. Okay. After my segment today, you're going to come back and laugh at that. Because we're going crazy.
But, like, you know what I mean, though? Like, we're not going to just, like, start something. But, right. Like, we do understand that possibly. Okay, anything can happen.
I do think it's fucking weird. I think the royal family is up to something. They're clearly hiding something.
Too much is going on. And a big point that I made was, like, this is not the time with the state of the world to be making leaders of our countries, U.S. included. I'm looking at you, babes. Mm-hmm. Let our leaders and our leadership look weak.
Yeah,
it's not the time for that. The state of the world is not okay for anybody to be. So whatever's happening has to be critical. It has to be dire. It has to be something that's incredibly concerning, because I truly believe that if President Biden or whoever ends up being the president of the United States, whatever, if they were to have a cancer diagnosis, we would fucking take that shit to the grave.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Before we made ourselves look weak. So for anything right now to be being put out publicly is got to be something concerning.
Well, and that's why I think that King Charles' diagnosis was publicized mm-hmm. because they've known about it.
They've known about it.
They've
for
known
a
about it for probably a very long time.
And they're like, we can't let this keep getting worse.
And he's sick.
Yeah. And it's
so it needed to be. He's going to probably undergo some sort of radiation, like, and it needed to be in the press.
Right. And I don't think that they've even still, like, identified exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And obviously, guys, we're talking from, like, the United States information that we get very little. We don't know everything. I was just relaying the conversations that we were all having this morning. Still, though, it's just weird. It's just fucking
weird. Yeah, no, it is fucking weird. I mean, they're always so weird, though.
I know.
They're always so weird.
It's so weird. And, like,
some big scandal is going to happen with Catherine and William, and it's going to put Harry on the throne.
Yeah.
Just like Nostradamus said.
Dude, that'd be crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
I want to timestamp one of our clips.
What if it's actually the king's sister that ends up?
King's
like,
sister.
What would have to happen in order for that? We went through this when we covered the royal family.
I mean, they'd have to be like...
The queen's daughter, Anne, Princess Anne. She's not princess. Is she princess?
Like William and Harry's sister?
No. King Charles' sister, Anne. The queen's...
I think it would be like, I have no idea. I don't think she'd ever see the throne.
There was like a way that we got there when it was like crazy. It was like the whole family would have had to fucking die.
Yeah.
But that's like...
Because if it's not William, then it's his son.
His son. And if it's not
and
his
if
son...
If his son's not ready,
it's
I think
Kate
goes in as queen mother.
Yes.
And like holds power until he turns 18. I don't know.
Or
they could give that up to Harry until he turns 18, like an interim.
Right. But in order for Harry to be king, then that whole family would have to be whoop.
Yeah.
Bad. But I feel like there was someone even before Harry.
I wish it was Prince William and then Princess Charlotte was next in line.
I know.
I wish she was the oldest.
I know.
I want a queen again.
That'd be iconic.
We probably won't ever see a queen.
Not in our lifetimes. No.
That's so crazy.
That's so sad. Because how fun.
I know.
How fun was that to be able to see a queen, you know?
Yeah.
That was iconic queen. As fuck.
Mm-hmm.
A queen. You know what I immediately, out of nowhere, just got a hankering for?
What?
Green beans.
Oh.
With salt and butter.
That sounds so fucking good.
That sounds banger.
You have any?
I have like the canned ones. I have a ton of canned green beans. Different types. So we're just going to make a batch of green beans.
Are they microwavable? Like,
yeah.
Can you microwave green beans?
Yeah. Well, not in the can. You just
put right.
Yeah.
But like, that's okay. Yeah. They taste fine.
Yeah. They taste actually,
then
I
you
think better.
Then what? You drain butter, salt, and pep?
Yep.
I need that. I need something. I'm fucking sick over
Me
here.
Me too.
I feel so sick.
We need
sick.
To have some. We'll go get a can of green beans.
I'm getting a can of green beans.
That
right
sounds
now.
Phenomenal. I have the big fat kind. I have the skinny kind. I have the long skinny kind. I have the half ones.
Nice.
I have a bunch because
Do you have any vegetable medley?
Yeah, probably.
I like that too.
You know, I've got a fuck ton of vegetables canned.
Yeah.
I'm like a doomsday prepper downstairs, it looks like.
Let's go check it out.
Let's go check it out and make some green beans.
All right. Well, we'll be back with our veggies.
All right. Hit them with it.
If you're driving, throw that shit on cruise control.
If you got a glass, pour that shit up.
And let's get creepy.
Okay, good news. We didn't end up going the green bean route.
But we did order Dose Bros and bundled it with Dairy Queen.
They were like, no extra delivery charge. We were like, fucking sign us up.
I was going over because I was like, I don't want chips. I don't need a side. I said, but I would go for a little brownie or something. So I scroll over to their desserts and I'm looking and I'm like, those say Blizzards. And then I'm so confused. I'm like, wait, does Dose Bros
have
like,
Dairy Queen
partner
inside?
With Dairy Queen?
That'd be sick.
No, it was just a DoorDash special.
So we're very excited about that. Thank God.
Cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
Really excited.
Okay, Morgan, what do you have for us? No.
So, No. Just kidding.
I forgot I have one more thing to say, and y'all are like, literally, shut up. But I have to tell you. I wake up this morning. I walk into the living room, or maybe it was yesterday morning. I don't know. I walk into the living room, and guess what Logan has in his hand drinking?
What?
The Last Factor smoothie.
No, he doesn't.
I hid it in the back of the fridge.
They always find them.
They're my favorite, and they just find them. Like, Please, leave them alone. Factor's my thing. Factor's my favorite. It's what I look forward to.
It's hidden for a reason.
It's hidden for a reason. It's for the girlies.
If it's not in the front of the fridge, it's not for you.
It's not for you. If it's not within eyesight of you when you open the fridge, then it's not for you.
Period. Sir. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
So what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. And the best part is there's no prep and there's no mess, meaning Factor meals are ready to heat and eat. There's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. So if you're in a little bit of a rush, it's perfect.
And it's flexible for your schedule. You can get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every single week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime, like how we're going on Bachelorette soon to Jamaica. We pause because the boys don't need that.
No.
No, they don't need that.
They don't.
Any more of the smoothies. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast premium options with no cooking required, which I'm always looking for that.
So sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious.
Yes, fantastic. Head over to factormeals.com/creepsandcrimes50 and use that code creepsandcrimes50 to get 50% off.
That's code creepsandcrimes50 at factormeals.com/creepsandcrimes50 to get 50% off.
And hide your smoothies in the back of the fridge, ladies.
All right, so today I am telling you the Sumerian origin of the Anunnaki civilization. So my source is Ancient Aliens season 6 in the episode, I think it's episode 3, but they don't number their episodes, right. But it's the third one in, and it's called The Anunnaki Connection. If you're on Patreon,
sorry,
I am gonna briefly discuss the Sumerians. I know we know a lot about them already. If you're not on Patreon, it will be coming.
Yeah.
Like I will publicly cover big deep dive into the Sumerians, but for the meaning of my episode today, I'm not really digging into them.
Right, because like on Patreon, we're just kind of doing like a 101 into mythology right now, and then just like because we want to do it, but we need to learn more, and so you guys are being forced to learn with us over on Patreon.
For real. Okay, so my story starts in the National Museum of Iraq in Baghdad. And this National Museum held the history of the Sumerians, the riches of Mesopotamia, and artifacts that date back to the Assyrian and the Babylonian civilizations. Mm. It had a lot of history in this museum. But on April 10th, 2003, those artifacts were stolen or destroyed. This was 3 weeks after the launch of Operation Iraqi Freedom, and this is when American troops made their way into the city of Baghdad. While the American troops' goal was to maintain peace, they were met with riots and looters that were filling the streets. They were ransacking museums and destroying these ancient artifacts, and eventually they made their way into the National Museum of Iraq, stealing and destroying thousands of Sumerian artifacts.
Oh my God.
Including tablets that contain the genealogy and the history of the gods, the Great Flood, pieces that were of precious history from thousands of years ago was now gone. But these looters, and I say that with air quotations, weren't looters at all. Instead, they were men in suits and military gear with earpieces and the ability to be able to blast through this very heavily guarded National Museum,
right.
And like, I mean, they had double panel, double locked doors, and they were blasting them open. And bystanders reported that these weren't your typical locals that were looting in retaliation of the American troops entering their city. This
was like an operation. Right.
And more than likely, these were Americans.
Okay, so are we in the conspiracy yet? Or
no, this is fact.
This is fact.
Yes.
Whoa.
So during this war, when we entered Baghdad, this museum got ransacked, and everyone said it was all blamed on the locals, and everyone was like, no.
No, we didn't fucking do it. Because why would they? That's their history.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, that's fact.
Wow.
But and it shocks you because that wouldn't make any sense. Why would obvious government officials destroy and steal these ancient artifacts? Well, in order to understand the magnitude of destroying objects like this and attempting to practically erase history, we need to understand the origins of what history was lost. So many of these artifacts dated back to the time of the Sumerians. And the Sumerians were a part of what is believed to be the oldest civilization in all of Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia had four main kingdoms. Sumer, which is where the Sumerians come from. Mm-hmm. Akkad, Babylonia, and Assyria. I tried to write down all my pronunciations, but...
We all know how that goes.
We know how that goes.
We can't even read our own pronunciations.
And the Sumerians, or the city of Sumer, is believed to be the first and the oldest civilization in Mesopotamia, dating back to 3,000, 4,000 BC.
Damn.
Don't even understand how.
I can't even, like, grasp that.
And they're so important in today's history lessons because they were the creators of cuneiform writing on sand and stone tablets. And all cuneiform means is wedge-shaped, and it's just like a wedge-shaped stylus. I was watching a video on it, actually, because I'm talking to Aaron about this last night. So, of course, my TikTok's all Mesopotamia.
Of course,
Sumerians.
Yeah.
Anunnaki.
Yep.
So it's just like blowing me up.
All of a sudden you're like, I know everything that you need to know.
I know everything that you need to know. Yeah. So it was just a wedge-shaped stylus, and they would just impress these like signs on tablets. And then these tablets were then set in fire to be preserved, and they've maintained preservation for thousands of years.
I mean, an ungodly amount of years.
Yeah. Like, our stuff doesn't stay maintained.
No, because we don't build shit to last anymore.
Like, even like stone. Like, if you inscribe stone, like, it, you can...
Speaking of stone, Morgan.
Oh, what?
When I was on that hike this weekend, I found something. It's a stone, and it's got two left, two 90-degree angles out of it.
Did you look up the symbol?
No, I didn't look up the symbol. I have it in the car. I brought it with me. But then I was like, why the fuck would I bring that with me?
You brought a rock. It was like a rock.
It's a rock. Yeah, it's about the size of my hand. And it looks like the state of Oklahoma on one side, like when you hold it on the other way. And
why did you take that?
Yeah, I was like, what?
Well, it could also
be haunted. So I'm trying to figure out what
it is. It also means something.
Yeah.
Especially where you were hiking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so the Sumerians were the creators of this cuneiform writing.
Right.
They were the inventors of that, and they cuneiformed everything. It's but deciphering these tablets was almost impossible until March 1843. This is when a French scientist named Paul-Émile Botta found this gigantic underground area filled with statues of gods, kings, and the walls were just covered in cuneiform inscriptions. This underground hidden treasure was in an Assyrian palace located in northern Iraq, the city of Khorsabad. Yes, northern Iraq, Khorsabad. And within years, the ruins of the Sumerian capital city of Ur was discovered. And this city of Ur, this is a city that is prominent in the Bible. It is the city that is home to Abraham.
Yes, yes.
So this
which Abraham in, it's not only Christian, but...
And it's the Christian
Bible. In a lot of religion, it says is Abraham is who we all descended of.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Yes, I'm with you. So they find this hidden treasure in an Assyrian palace in North Iraq, Khorsabad. And then within years, they find the ruins of the Sumerian capital city of Ur, which we said was the home to the biblical Abraham. This pyramid that they found was decked in cuneiform tablets and tombs that were made of just solid gold.
Whoa.
Tombs?
No, not tomes. It's tombs. You did it right.
And tombs, they were made up of entire gold, solid gold. And keep that in mind when we start talking about the Anunnaki. Up until this discovery, though, the Sumerians were really just like a myth.
Really?
Like, people didn't believe in the Sumerians. They were like, oh, yeah, Mesopotamia, like, but not the Sumerians.
Right.
And now with this evidence that they found in the Assyrian palace in the city of Ur, like, the evidence was overwhelming, and it was now a historical fact. They had to accept it. And granted, this was in the 1800s. So, like, to us, the Sumerians always existed. But then they were like, oh, yeah, those crazy people. Like,
right.
I'm sure they lived there.
Yeah. They're almost thinking of it as if, like, how we talk about, like, mythology, where it's like, we believe it because it was, like, basically a religion. So they believed it. But we don't know. It's not factual to us.
And right.
We don't have proof of all these gods and goddesses. So imagine that. What if we got proof right now that, like,
we would still be like, okay.
Oh, yeah, literally. I mean,
I feel like today's people, though, I feel like if we were to give proof of anything, we would be like, sure.
I mean, the government literally came out and we're like, there are aliens.
And we're like, yeah, we fucking know, but also like
we got other things to fucking
we
deal
need
with.
To buy a house.
Yeah.
So on these tablets in these ruins and in this pyramid was cuneiform text that proved without a doubt the ancient civilization of the Sumerians was in fact historically real. But within those was descriptions of these divine beings. And this is where the Anunnaki come in. This is the origin story that we know of the Anunnaki, and it's all from Sumerian cuneiform tablets. The Anunnaki is what the Sumerians referred to as offsprings of God who had descended from the sky. And Mesopotamia religion then was polytheistic, meaning they worshipped hundreds of gods, male and female. It didn't matter. There was more than one god, and these gods were often depicted in human form. But interestingly enough, they were arranged in this hierarchy that matched today's like our own hierarchy system. I can't say that word ever.
Hierarchy.
Like political system also. Meaning you had the high gods and you had the heavenly gods and you had the lesser gods. And the lesser gods were the ones that were here on earth with you and the ones that were in the underworld. But according to Sumerian texts, the heavenly gods were the Anunnaki. They were the supreme deities. They were described as humanoid, but they had a non-physical body.
Oh.
So they were these spirits. They were humanoids, but they didn't have a physical body because they had the capability of morphing into human form.
Oh.
But other than that, they were really just these like beings of, I think of it as like beings of light.
Yeah, yeah. Like not like necessarily apparitions, but.
Right. And they could,
like how we would
they
think
could
of
just
angels?
Morph and, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they could just morph and shapeshift into whatever I guess would make that race that they're approaching comfortable.
Yeah, like
so they're
going
to match
down
to them and become humans.
Right. Because in old text of the Bible and stuff, when they describe angels and depict angels, they're fucking scary
yeah,
looking.
Terrifying.
And then all of a sudden it's like it switches and it's like, oh, they're like mirroring how we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw mine.
Yeah. Death.
I don't like it.
And I don't want to see you again.
I don't ever want to. So allegedly, the Anunnakis came to Earth on a mission, and their mission was to, one, bring wisdom, and two, mine certain minerals and materials, and we'll circle back to that.
Okay.
The Sumerian cuneiform text describes them as having this incredible knowledge and power over the entire world, not just Earth, not just human beings, of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they were beings that lived for hundreds, sometimes thousands of years.
Mm.
They knew the sciences, the arts, and like within the sciences and arts, I'm not just talking like astrology, like I'm talking like herbivorologists, like you know, like plant,
right.
Like they,
plants.
I don't know how to fucking word.
I know what you're talking about.
Like
yeah.
they knew everything about everything. All of which leads us to believe that the Anunnaki were extraterrestrial beings, because how would they have the information that they had?
Right.
And also they're being depicted as these gods that came from
the sky.
So researcher Austin Henry Laird found proof of this on cuneiform tablets that were found during an archaeological expedition to Nineveh, Iraq in 1849. During this expedition, he discovers the palace of Sennacherib, who is mentioned also in the Bible, this person. And about 3 years after this expedition, they find his assistant, actually. So Austin, the researcher Austin's assistant, finds the palace of Ashurbanipal, which is Sennacherib's grandson.
Okay.
So they're like now finding this family freaking royal palaces
right.
everywhere. And during both these expeditions, they find archives that include about 20 to 30,000 cuneiform tablets.
Whoa.
Everywhere.
Whoa.
And these tablets have stories that detail the creations of Earth, man, and the lives of these gods. But more specifically, one of the tablets contains the now known as the Babylonian creation myth, and this is called the Enuma Elish. And this story, or this Enuma Elish, goes way back. The story on the tablet starts with the god named Marduk, and Marduk had took the blood from another god named Kingu, and then Marduk mixed that blood with some clay.
Okay.
Just clay, regular clay. And this mixture created Earth's first human.
Hmm.
And this was the Anunnaki's, quote, model man.
Okay.
So this is what they were striving to reach, or who we all know today in the Bible as Adam.
Right.
Model man is Adam. But the Enuma Elish is just another ancient creation myth. And it doesn't just contain gods. It contains, quote, otherworldly beings that possess the highly advanced knowledge of genetics.
Mm.
So this is really cool. When you look up cuneiform tablets, when you look up, I mean, honestly, also hieroglyphics and places out in like Peru and whatnot. And you see these inscriptions and pictures that are depicted on these things that have been preserved over the years.
These tablets and these walls.
You often will see the DNA pattern.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right.
Everywhere. It's like a little, it looks like just like a rope at the top. But if you really look at it, it fucking looks like
the detail.
Like DNA.
Right, so
like,
when it is preserved in something like this for so long, you can depict that detail.
Right, as DNA.
Right.
So anyway, just a fun fact, by the way. These tablets start talking about these beings that know a lot of genetics. And the Sumerians wrote in these tablets that the Anunnaki came to Earth to create, quote, the perfect being. They wanted to create the perfect human. So thousands and thousands of years ago, these people, the Anunnaki, these gods, they were genetically modifying humans and changing the DNA within us. But how and why would that even be possible? Like, we can't even do that today with the technology and advancements that we have. We can't sit there and
pick
genetically modify. Yeah, I want, I mean,
you
I
might
guess
be
you
able
can. To.
You can say like blue eyes,
but
and
you
stuff.
Can't be like, I
but
want
it's
it
not guaranteed.
To be 5 foot eight.
Right.
160 pounds,
full grown,
fit, size C chest.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't fucking do that.
You can't be like double D's.
Exactly.
Right.
So the theory with all of that is that our ancestors, meaning the humans before us, were given intelligence by a change in their DNA. So that the Anunnaki came here to modify our DNA to make humans more intelligent, more smart.
To
more
give smarter. Us like the frontal lobe.
Right.
Because that's what separates us.
And this bounces off the next theory, and that is that we are created by and from Anunnaki DNA. We as in the human race, which stems again from writings on other cuneiform tablets, and specifically the one called the Sumerians King List. This tablet dates around 2100 BC, and it's a list of 140 kings.
Okay.
Which sounds normal. We have that somewhere in D.C., I'm sure.
President's I mean, I'm sure. List,
like Washington Monument, maybe?
I mean, we have it in the literal Bible.
The Lincoln Memorial? Something. Somewhere our president's names are inscribed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sure UT's got it too.
You could look anywhere.
You know, like that is something that's extremely normal. But strangely enough, this list contains the names of kings that have enormously long lives. For example, one king lived and ruled for 36,000 years. Another one for 28,000 years.
Whoa.
Like, that's how long these kings' ruling lives were.
And I wonder, like, this will be a whole nother thing that we will have to discuss at a way later date in, like, 365 episodes from now, such as calendars.
Yeah.
And how they counted time. Because it, like...
Right.
I wonder if it was, like, shorter. Like, how did... When did...
Well, and you also... I was just let me say this real quick.
Okay.
And then like, we know that humans don't live that long, maybe max 200, but that's like pushing it then, like, if you had to guess.
Yeah.
But to cross reference this, you look at the Bible. Noah lived to be what, 800, 900 years?
Crazy. Adam was supposedly, according to the Bible, lived thousands of years.
Right.
Right.
And all of our calendars, though, we base them off of
now, like, that's alleged, obviously, by the way.
What?
That he lived thousands of years, because it's a Hebrew word that was written that means,
but
just like a long time.
There's a lot of people in the Bible that do have very long,
super long
lives. And let's be real, I know we haven't talked about calendars, but we are all based off of very old, ancient calendars.
Ancient. Like,
you know, so I don't necessarily think. Like, I think it's
so probably the same, because the only reason we tell time the way that we tell time is because of these ancient civilizations, them telling time like that.
Right. And unless our Earth moved around the sun faster, then it would still be based off of.
Well, also about the tilt.
Right.
Right.
But I mean, the tilt isn't going to make
the
Earth spin faster, right?
No, it's about the way that true north is marked.
But what does that have to do with sunset, sunrise?
Because of when it's not tilted, it can spin at a certain rate. I watched a fucking YouTube video on this.
Which would make days be
night.
Shorter or faster.
Yeah, something along those lines. And it has something to do with.
But they would be basing their days, I would assume, off of when the sun was up. You're going to work.
Right.
when the sun is up and you're going to sleep, because humans still had to sleep
when it's dark.
When it's dark out.
And also, we know that they based calendars and days and years and shit off of
the sun,
astrological markings. So we know that that is still true today.
Imagine them, daylight savings.
They would be like,
what? No clocks. But they would be, they all get up clockwork on their own.
Right.
Like, back then, were there any like heavy sleepers that just like wanted to sleep in?
I'm sure.
You think?
I'm sure, dude. I'm sure.
I just feel like they were all on the grind. You know, like, I'm just like.
They fucking woke up when the sun was up. They were out.
And they were working. Yeah.
Well, they all had like animals as their alarm clocks. So time, you know.
Did they take naps?
Probably. Well, obviously, because they, well, I think daylight would have been.
Or was it a sin to sleep?
I think it might have been a sin to sleep. Who knows?
I don't know.
To not serve your king would to be a sin.
Right.
Whoa. Did I say that? I think my words got really mixed up in that, but I think we all knew exactly what I meant if they did get messed up. Oh, okay. Call 911.
Just imagine, though, like, if they, I know daylight savings is a thing we made up, but like, just imagine they're all wake up on clockwork and then one day they wake up and it's still, they got an extra hour of sleep and they're like, damn, I'm feeling real refreshed.
Great today.
Thank God. I do is work around here.
It wasn't like, alarm clocks like it is today. Right. So they technically did have daylight savings because it was when the sun's up, your ass is up. When the sun's down,
they had it a little bit
sleep.
Every day.
Right.
Their wake up call was a little bit different.
It was just
every
whenever
day.
The fuck the sun was up and the sun went down.
Yeah.
And because the only thing they had was sundials that told them what time was.
Yeah.
So it truly was based off whatever the sun was. So that was their daylight savings. It's just that since we have like set clocks now.
Just imagine. I would be.
Can we go back to that? I don't want a digital clock.
I want to live in the Sumerian time period.
I do too. I will. I'm fine with being up when the sun's up and going to bed when the sun's down.
I want to just wear this cute little.
They probably fucking loved winter because it's shorter sunshine. They were like, thank God.
Yeah. Work day's slow.
Yeah. Slow.
Like, I just wanted, I would have to be royalty, I think, to survive.
Yeah, obviously, dude.
And, but like, I want, like, yeah, I could do it. I would go back in time. If I was this queen I'm going to talk about, if I was her, I would
fucking be there in a heartbeat,
So anyway, back to Noah. Conspiracy theorists, they tie Noah and other characters in the Bible that lived very long lives as being otherworldly beings or Anunnaki themselves because they carried some sort of gene that was prolonging their lives that humans do not have. We get 110 years maybe.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
If you're 120, if you're real lucky.
Right.
But other than that, you know, we're capping out now at like 90.
No, fuck that. We're capping out at 73.
And that's before retirement age now.
Literally.
It's crazy.
It's fucked.
All of this to say, it is possible that this Anunnaki civilization was our ancient ancestors. Some believe that that question was answered by author and researcher Zachariah Sitchin, who published this book called The 12th Planet. And this book introduced his interpretation of what Anunnaki deities were. So Zacharias had studied Sumerian cuneiform tablets for over 30 years. Like, he spent his entire life studying Sumerian texts. And this is his interpretation of what he got from it and what he thought they were saying and what they meant. He believed that this, quote, these extraterrestrial gods had landed on Earth in Mesopotamia 450,000 years ago. And he also transcribed from the tablets that the Anunnaki not only created human beings, but also played a huge role in the one event that nearly destroyed all life on Earth, the Great Flood.
Oh.
But why would they create us just to kill us? Zacharias published numbers of books based off of his transcriptions of the tablets. And his answer to this question is that to summarize all of his books, his point is that the Anunnaki, these people who allegedly came from the planet Nibiru, which was a planet that he believed actually once existed in our solar system, but now no longer does because
asteroid belt.
Because it acts as, well, now it acts as a gate, they believe.
Oh, okay.
Meaning that they're able to travel solar system to solar system and stars by using their planet as like this wormhole.
The Death Star is basically what that is.
Yeah, they're in a wormhole.
Right.
Crazy. Anyway, the Anunnaki came from their planet to ours and they upgraded the human race by altering our DNA to use us as a slave species. So this is all what Zachariah, he spent his whole life studying Sumerian texts, and this is what he has transcribed from the text.
Right.
So he's not, I mean, no one really knows what the text says, right. But like if you study it, I don't know. I guess you create your own language in your head maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, well, because we don't, it's not like we have a
translator. I would look
at
those lines and I'd be like, this is what they're saying.
want green beans with butter.
Your mom.
Your mom.
So he transcribed that they came to their planet, from their planet to ours, upgraded the human race by altering our DNA, and used us as a slave species. And from his interpretation, he says that they came to Earth because the atmosphere of their planet was failing. And that they came to mine our gold.
Oh.
Because our gold was a mineral that would work to patch their atmospheric holes.
What the fuck type of atmosphere they had?
I'm made of solid fucking gold, baby. They're heavenly bitch. Gods.
Yeah, 24 karat
magic
in the
but
air.
But what if it's like head to toe?
Something.
Look out. Okay, Bruno Mars, are Bruno you Mars? Anunnaku? Anunnaki. Naki.
Anunnaki. Are you Nyucky?
But what if also like that was the mineral that they needed to create their planet as a wormhole?
Right. Because what are the spiritual properties of gold? I have no idea.
But you see it everywhere. You see it in a ton of silver is to pyramids. Everything exactly. is wrapped in gold.
Gold. But then like when you have silver, silver's to like push away, like to ward against, and then gold is like royalty, it's protection, it's ooh.
I don't know. Anyway, but when they got here, they realized that mining this gold was a giant fucking pain in the ass.
Oh yeah, I'm
like,
sure
it's like
it was.
One of the worst minerals to mine here.
Yeah,
so that's why they created us to do it for them. In 1927, in southwest Iraq, there was an archaeologist named Leonard Woolley, and he was excavating at the site of the city of Ur, which, or Yor, I don't know how to pronounce it, when he discovers the remains of Queen Puabi.
Okay.
And according to their reports, Queen Puabi had an unusually large skull.
Mm.
A skull that was very similar to Egyptian pharaohs and mummies that were found all the way in Peru. And she was not a normal human, leading many theories to believe that while she may not have been full Anunnaki, she was probably a hybrid baby.
Shit.
Queen Puabi is just a hybrid kid of the Anunnaki descent and of what they created their own race by genetically modifying DNA to create these humans as a slave species.
And she was there to oversee.
Guy, and she was their hybrid baby, and any depiction of the Anunnaki and these inscriptions shows them with these huge, like in all the cuneiform tablets, they show them with these huge giant like cone skulls, like
protruding
out of the back of their head.
Yes.
Well, this matched Queen Puabi's skull. And they found this in 1927. And the best part about her is that she's a first dynasty queen, meaning she was very close to the reign of the Anunnaki.
Whoa.
She was right out. They came and she was their baby. And guess what? She
right.
was fucking
queen. She took over.
Meaning that she is the closest piece of evidence that would prove whether the Anunnaki were real or not.
Whoa.
Queen Puabi was buried adjacent to what they called a great death pit. There were 74 individuals laying next to her. Six of whom were male, the rest female, possibly sacrificed.
Oh my God.
Assuming that they had died to accompany their queen to the afterlife.
Right.
One of the female bodies was next to her was dressed very similar to Queen Puabi, and she also may have been a royal figure or a priestess or even a princess.
Right.
Her daughter. But clearly these women, all of them, were of very high importance. And finding remains of someone like that, you would assume that what would they do? Run a DNA test.
Of course.
You're seeing these skeletal remains of something that is clearly doesn't match anything that we have seen in history.
Ever.
Besides what's on hieroglyphics. Have you even heard of this body?
No.
Me neither. But it's sitting in the fucking museum.
And
have we run a DNA test on it? We'll get to that. So they want, everyone is wanting them to run a DNA test on it. And that's exactly what this author, Zach Rye, who spent his whole life studying Sumerian texts, wanted them to do too. That's what he was hoping for, because this one final piece could prove everything of his hypothesis of the Anunnakis, that they came, because I mean, if that was accurate, then he's proving that they genetically modified DNA, that mm-hmm. they brought her in, or they created her to then lead. And it shows, like, I mean, I guess kind of use it as a key. Like, if that actually has DNA that doesn't match our genetic code, then these beings in this text are extraterrestrial, and then, you know, go on a playbook there.
Right. And I wonder if it would even, like, give us some insight into that one very, very rare blood type and DNA codes and stuff that we have that are like ancient.
So this is what Zacharias says about the situation. Whoever created us deliberately held back from us a certain thing, fruit, genes, DNA, whatever you want to call it, because they didn't give us good health, longevity, immortality that they had. So what was it that they held back? Maybe by comparing her, Princess Puabi's genome with ours, we would find out what are those missing genes that they deliberately did not give us.
Right.
And he pushed and he pushed and he pushed for the Natural History Museum to do a DNA test on Puabi's remains, even offering to fund the entire process for them, but they just shut him down.
What?
They're like, sorry, if the request has to come from someone like really reputable.
Like,
and
who?
You're just an author. Like, who else is going to ask you to fuck it? Like, you're the national, you should be doing it.
You should be initiating this on your own. What right. are you talking about? Like, this is human genetic history.
And we are unsure if they did do the DNA test and if they did have hidden their DNA findings from the public. Which really brings us back to the beginning, the destroyed and stolen cuneiform artifacts from the Iraq National Museum.
Oh my God.
It seems that every piece of Sumerian history, bit by bit, which is arguably the most important piece of history as they are the oldest civilization. I can't say that word right now. I just tried three times. That's the best it's going to get.
That's the one.
Civilization. There we go. But it seems that every piece of Sumerian history, bit by bit, is being erased, destroyed, or altered. Which to me makes so much fucking sense. Why would they tell us if there was the truth of humankind? Because what would it do? What was the one thing that it would do? It would break almost all religions.
Oh yeah, and you
which
can't.
Hold so much power over people
and
over
morals.
This planet.
Yes.
It would be fucking chaos.
No, chaos would break out.
But that is all I have today on the Sumerian origin of the Anunnaki. And this is definitely a topic that I will be revisiting, deep diving. Yeah. But this is also a stockpile week for us. So sorry for slacking a little bit. But just a little like intro, I guess, to it.
You need to do it again. Yeah, you need to keep going. Yeah,
I keep going.
I have so many questions. Like I could go on
when
for
you,
hours about this.
When you think about, and it's just crazy that the Bible depicts so many of these stories that these cuneiform tablets, which where were they? They were in Mesopotamia, which is where Iraq, which is
the origin of life.
Literally. And the Bible is depicting these stories, but they're changing these.
Not even the Bible. We could go through every religious text and it all begins here.
Yeah.
It all starts there.
Yeah. Off these cuneiform tablets that have been. They're so hard to come across.
I kind of over-exaggerate. Not all, but like the
majority.
The majority. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, they have all of these tablets are so fucking hard to even come across them. They're buried in ruins.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as I'm speaking as a Christian, our Bible
right.
tells the stories of them.
And well,
but we don't even know the translation. But
exactly.
Then, but what do they do? They erase this whole DNA modification,
right.
extraterrestrial intelligence, technology
sense.
That they had.
What are you withholding?
With the
fruit of the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is that significant? And we talked about this on Patreon, but like if you look at any origin, like the origin story of every single religion, it's based on just basic facts, which is there is a sky god, there is an earth something, like an earth being, and then between them they have a child. In most religious texts it's a son, and then that person is who begins life on earth or comes to save it later.
And then what also is very interesting is this shape of the skull.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Puabi is mm-hmm. in Mesopotamia. You have pharaohs mm-hmm. in Egypt with the same shape. You see their big long hats
that are mimicking that, even if they don't have the skull.
And then you also see it in fucking Peru and anywhere in South America.
All of
where
these ancient civilizations.
Pyramids are.
Yes.
And why scattered across the world are these royalty beings? Why are they different than the humans that are depicted in every single picture?
Exactly.
Like, make that fucking make sense.
Dude.
Crazy.
That's fucking whack. That's whack.
Anunnaki.
I just need to know right now if they've ever run a DNA test. Like, for real.
They absolutely fucking
100%
have.
They have. Are we
but
joking?
But it's not public.
Are we hee-haw-hee-heeing? They fucking ran that.
1927 and we still
when
have
was
the remains.
When was the siege where they stole all that stuff? What year was that?
2003.
Yeah, it's 2000.
2003.
So
And now again, I
wait, when was DNA developed enough to be able to do that?
Probably 2003.
Yes.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yes.
And I know I said like American government officials that were probably behind it, but I don't know that.
We don't know that.
It could be somebody totally different.
That's just us being,
you know,
us.
Like the
fucking Men in Black.
Could have been the Men in Black. It could have been Russia. It
could have been the damn Geneva Convention.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
It could have been a secret society of people. It could have been the fucking Illuminati for all we know.
Yeah. That came, like, and they said, we're going to get rid of that.
Why though? Why do you want to erase? Like, what is it that is in these tablets that we act like there's all this, like, oh, we have no, because truly we don't have any idea. Like, we have guesses, we have theories, but none of this can be confirmed. But with DNA technology developing as it is, like, why are we not running extensive DNA testing on any and everything? Because we are. And if you watch the History Channel, you know that we are.
Right.
So why is it that this one thing, so he offered to fund it.
Yeah, he was like, I'll pay for it. And they're like,
I'll pay for
it. They're like, your request doesn't matter to us.
Okay. Who needs to ask? Elon fucking Musk? I'll tweet his little ass off.
Get Queen Puabi's remains DNA'd right now, Elon.
I feel like he would be able to do that.
100%.
I don't want to lie. Like, we talk about Elon
because
Musk
Elon
all the time.
Musk is the Anunnaki. He is Anunnaki, yeah, period.
Truly. Like, I don't know why we always bring him up, but like, it's just because he's such an anomaly to me.
Yeah.
Like, I forget that he's human, you know, like, just craziness.
It is crazy, but
man, I've been missing these historical conspiracy theories.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna, again, I do apologize because I could have definitely went way more into detail, but it's a stockpile week. Okay.
Yeah.
Bear with me.
We're trying our best, okay?
Right.
All
right.
Yeah, I think you have to make a two-parter out of this.
Yeah.
Maybe not this week, but like eventually. Whenever have the bandwidth and brain power to get that done. It's not just our two last brain cells bebopping around called Creeps and Crimes in our head, and that's all they
are. And then also, how crazy is it that it's not even the 18... The Sumerians are believed to be myth until the 1800s.
Myth until the 1800s.
Late 1800s. 1875.
Right, like not that
1900s,
long ago.
Yeah.
Like 100 and some change years ago.
And then here are the Anunnaki myth, and we have the evidence to prove whether this woman, this queen, is fully human, but no one's fucking doing anything.
Well, they've run. They
know.
Whatever it is, it's something that we can't know, because it would disassemble everything that is society today. And at what point, but like, you know, with religion kind of being where it's at, where it's like, you know, now I feel like it's a lot more acceptable to be atheist. It's a lot more acceptable for people to be like, yeah, I don't believe that there is anything. I think that this is just it. Mm-hmm. And whereas like in the past, you'd be fucking hung if you ever said that.
Right.
At what point, how comfortable do we have to get with kind of dismantling this idea of religion before it is released? But the issue is it's not just a United States thing. They can tell
what
to us.
What if someone came to us and they were like, listen, we will tell you what you want to know, but you have to sign your life away. And your one limitation is that you cannot speak about it with each other, and you cannot speak about it to anyone else.
Oh my God. We would get killed immediately.
Oh my God. We would immediately sign and be like, bitch.
Hey, Patreon.
Yeah, literally. Hey, guys. Hey, besties.
I mean, we would
try to get it out as quick as fuck, but they would get us.
But they'd be like, you told her the same thing. Can we not just talk about it?
And they'd be like, they would say no.
Oh my God. And
I would be like, I can't know then. Don't tell me.
I would be like, you really can't tell me.
Please don't.
I can't do that. I'm so sorry. I'll just get a little drunk. I'll take one sip of a dirty martini
and
it'll come out.
And speaker.
Are you shitting me?
Anyway, I hope that, I know I really kind of, I didn't mean, if I came off as ripping apart the Bible, I didn't mean it by that at all. I was just using that as a comparison.
Well, because it's what we can compare it to. It's the only thing that we can hold a candle to it.
Yeah.
In.
So I don't. Please don't come for
don't
me.
Don't forget, I'm guys, just, that we really are Christians.
Right. Like, I'm just making comparisons from these historical tablets to the Bible.
Right.
That's all. In the characters in the tablets and the characters in the Bible.
And that's how we can understand it. And that's how.
Think of it as a Venn diagram.
Think of it as a Venn diagram.
Put it on some merch. Think of it as a Venn diagram.
Exactly. Okay, guys. My turn.
All right.
So the case I have for you guys today, I actually found while I was watching Cold Case Files on Netflix. And
I'm both Netflix girlies today.
Like we've just been killing it over there. I have never heard of this case, and it kind of blew my mind because I feel like this is a case that like should be more well known because of just how old it is and like the significance of it and like relevant in society and like social media. Apparently it's had a really large presence on. So I was just kind of shocked that I had never heard of it. So I decided, I was like, I'm gonna cover it because I've just never heard anybody else cover it.
Right.
This is the case of Risa Trexler, but I do want to start off by saying that this is the case of a 15-year-old girl. It's graphic and it's hard to hear. And I walked around my house and squalled probably for about 3 hours trying to calm myself down enough to be able to write this and get the research done fully so that it could be done. But with that being said, I also didn't, because of how emotional it makes me, I am not going to go into the detail that I normally would with cases, only because it's just that disturbing to hear. So I wanted to start off with that trigger warning, and SAR brutality is involved. This is in Salisbury, North Carolina, on June 15th, 1984. 15-year-old Risa Dawn Trexler is at home with her little sister, 13-year-old Jody, and they are soaking in the beginning of their summer break. They are living the good home alone life, with air quotations around it, as their parents were at work. However, though it felt like they were grown and adult and alone, in reality, their grandparents were just next door, and their entire family lived on their block. That afternoon, Risa's best friends, Paul and Jim, came over to hang out and watch TV in the Trexler family living room as they had cable television.
Nice.
And do you have any idea or guess as to what they would have been watching in June of 1984? What would you watch when your parents aren't home and you're 15?
MTV.
MTV. Exactly.
MTV.
They're watching MTV, and all the while they're like making these sandwiches, like Scooby-Doo sandwiches, eating them, hanging out, just sitting out on the couch. And of course, like fighting with Jody, like it's the big sister, little sister drama of like, you can't hang out with us, and be like, okay, well, I'm going to sit here anyways. Exactly. Paul and Jim in their Paul in his interviews on Cold Case Files was talking about just like, it was just like a comical, regular 15-year-old with a 13-year-old in the house, like drama, sister drama going on in the house. And it was just so funny because they just felt so grown and adult.
I remember those days.
Yep. And it's around 3 p.m. when Risa announces to Paul and Jim, her best guy friends, that, hey, guys, I'm going to have to turn off MTV because my soaps are coming on.
Fair.
So you got to get out. And
Days of Our Lives is coming on.
100%. So she's like, you can stay and watch, but either way, we're not watching MTV. And of course, these two 15-year-old boys are not going to stick around to watch Days of Our Lives. So they grab their stuff and they decide to head out. They just lived like two blocks down the road. Plus, Paul had to start getting ready for his shift at a local fast food restaurant that was coming up soon. They leave. Jody goes into her and Risa's shared bedroom while her sister, Risa, stayed out in the living room watching all of her soaps. And then after a bit of time that had gone by, probably an hour, Jody gets bored in her room. So she starts looking around for her big sister, but Risa is nowhere to be found. Now, assuming that Risa had just gone next door to their grandparents' house, Jody walks over there to find her. But about halfway between their yards, because they were next door neighbors, she sees that her grandma and her grandpa's cars are not in the driveway and the front door was shut, AKA they're not home. Thinking that Risa had gone and ran errands with them, as she often would, as they both often would, Jody's kind of pissed, like, how dare you fucking leave me?
Right, like, I've been wanting to hang out all day.
Right, and then she's like, I'm just going to go back inside the house, and she turns on her radio in her room, she picks up the phone and starts calling her friends, because she's home alone, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just hanging out on her bed, listening to music, talking to her friends, and her bedroom her bed faced the window, which had a perfect view of her grandparents' house. As she's laying there, it's approximately 4:55 p.m. Jody sees and hears her grandfather run out of the front door, slam the door open, and scream at the top of his lungs. Thinking that something had happened to her grandmother, Jody jumps up, runs out the door of her house and over to her grandparents' house, to the front door, and tries to get into the house, but her grandpa is blocking her, not letting her inside. He couldn't really put into words what was going on because he was sick and he was upset and he was screaming and he was squalling, and all he could tell Jody to do is go call 911, go to your house and call 911. So Jody runs back to her house as fast as she could, calls 911 in a panic and tells him, I don't know what's going on, but you have to hurry. She hangs up the phone and she runs back to her grandparents' house, this time through the back door. She begins frantically searching around the home, looking around. Everything looks totally fine until she turns the corner to the spare bedroom. The room was a wreck. It was completely covered in blood, spattered up on the wall, on the ceiling. It was a mess. She still couldn't comprehend, because she's 13 years old, as what the fuck is going on. So she's just searching around and she spots her sister, partially covered, lying there completely nude under a blood-soaked blanket, very clearly dead.
Oh my God.
Her big sister, 15-year-old Risa. About that time, it had to be around 5 p.m. because Risa and Jody's mother, Vicky, had just arrived home from work to see her father and her daughter, Jody, standing on the front porch step of her parents' home, the grandparents next door, screaming for help and screaming for her. Vicky jumps out of the car, barely getting it into park, having no idea what was going on and absolutely no time to process what was being said to her. She ran into her parents' home, following her father as he led her to where her baby girl was laying. Before she could even get through the doorway of the spare bedroom, Vicky fell on her hands and knees. She then crawled up to the lifeless body of her firstborn daughter, knowing that she was long gone as her eyes were wide open.
Wow.
She was covered in blood and there was a knife sticking out of her neck. Risa had been brutally assaulted, stabbed to death in the safety of her own grandparents' home, just 5 yards from her own home. Vicky was in such shock. She was in such shock that all she said she could do was run. She just ran out. And she didn't stop running. She ran away from this nightmare that was unfolding. She ran away from the house, wishing that she would come back and it would be a regular day after coming home from work. She was screaming and she ran and she ran and she squalled. And as she's running, her brother, who lived on the other side of her parents, the grandparents, had come after her in his truck. And he pulled over and he got her. He tried to console her and he was like, we have to go back. And by the time they get back, it's around 5:15 p.m. The homes are swarming with police officers. Trigger warning for graphic details of the death of a child. Investigators found that Risa had been stabbed a total of 18 times, mostly in her face, neck, and upper chest. She was covered in defensive wounds, showing that she had fought incredibly hard for her life. How was it that a 15-year-old girl was brutally murdered in her grandparents' home, just yards away from her own? She was fully nude, yet had all of her jewelry on that she typically wore and was wearing that day. This meant that they could quickly rule out that this was not a robbery as a motive, and there was nothing taken from the home. But that is when investigators discovered sperm on Risa's right leg and signs of forced penetration. There was also a partial unidentified fingerprint on Risa's right pinky finger and a piece of wood found on her cheek with a small hair or a few small black hairs lying around her neck. Investigators had to start by first looking at anyone who was in the area at the time of Risa's murder and that would have a sexual motive for wanting her dead. They began by interviewing everyone, her parents, her sister, her grandparents, and the neighbors, which were her aunts and uncles. Unfortunately, this meant that investigators had to consider her own grandfather as a suspect, but very early on, they were able to rule them out. However, they were interested in hearing from Jim and Paul, the two friends that had been over at the house just 2 hours prior to her death. Investigators went to Paul's work and pulled him out for questioning. And by questioning, I mean that they interrogated this 15 or 16-year-old guy and didn't even tell him, like, break the news to him that Risa was murdered. Instead, they were like, you murdered Risa.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
And they did the same to Jim. Obviously, this was incredibly traumatizing and unethical, considering the fact that they are minors.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty quickly, everyone volunteered that was being questioned to give their DNA, which was very, very, very new and almost kind of unheard of at this point in time. They gave hair samples, pubic hair samples, saliva samples, fingerprints, whatever they asked for. Everyone was cooperating. And because of that, each of these people were able to be ruled out, leaving investigators almost at a standstill before Risa's funeral could even take place. Yet they did have someone in the back of their minds, Jody. Risa's 13-year-old little sister, who was the only other person in the home with her that day, other than the boys. A 13-year-old little girl.
Oh my God.
There's sperm.
Right.
She was overpowered. Clearly.
Yeah.
Brutally stabbed to death. I don't know how they got there, but the speculation was only fueled by the public after Reese's funeral, where investigators in the community saw a very stoic 13-year-old girl attending her older sister's funeral. According to the police in the rumor mill, Jody did not cry once or even show enough emotion
numb.
To convince them that she had not played a role in her sister's murder. Investigators began interrogating not only Jody, but Vicky, her mother, about that day, successfully creating doubt in Vicky's mind about her only surviving daughter. They turned Vicky.
Where was this at?
This is in Salisbury, North Carolina.
Okay.
Not that far from here.
Yeah.
This created a rift in their relationship. It cracked. And in fact, it took years for them to be able to have a relationship again, because Vicky is also being fed this information from police.
While mourning.
And then having to, you're looking at everyone as a suspect. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I mean, imagine how beat down she had to be in order to look at her own surviving daughter.
It's terrible.
Because of this, Jody even attempted to run away on many occasions. However, she always showed up for police interviews, interrogations, and even voluntarily gave samples, same as the men that they had questioned. She gave everything. Everyone wow. in town believed that Jody was the murderer. She was bullied in school. She eventually, I think, had to drop out. She couldn't get a job anywhere because everyone thought she was a murderer. It's a small town. She would be spit at. She would be screamed at when she was walking out of a grocery store, when she was driving, when she was walking around town, or even if she was walking into her own fucking home, people would scream at her and call her a murderer. And it got even worse as the years went by and there was no resolution in Reese's case, but especially with the creation of social media. So this is years later. This case goes cold, unsolved, the second that it happened. When Facebook was introduced, Facebook groups were created by Reese's so-called best friends at the time of her death. And these were not just dedicated to Reese's case and getting it solved. Instead, they were hate groups about Jody.
What the fuck?
Jody felt like she had no other choice but to live with not only the pain of losing her big sister, who she loved dearly and looked up to, but also live with the fact that everyone blamed her for her own sister's death. Until one day, when she was watching Dr. Phil and she got an idea. Jody had never been administered a polygraph in all of these years. And at this point, it was 2017. So she reaches out to Dr. Phil through the website and she just explains her situation the best that she could. Within days, Dr. Phil's team got back with Jody and they set up a date to have her on the show where she would be administered a 2-hour polygraph for the first time in 34 years. And the results found that Jody was being truthful about her recount of that day. She did not kill her sister and she did not play any role in the death of her sister at all. Now, not only was this good for Jody, but for Risa too, because this episode renewed the public attention on Risa's case, forcing the investigating police department to reopen and reinvestigate the case from start to finish. Developments in DNA were their best shot, especially since they had kept that semen sample and hair samples from all of those years and they had kept them safe. Investigators sent the samples off to be ran in the database, but there were no matches. Luckily, though, genetic genealogy was developed enough and a lab was willing to take the samples for Reese's case. Investigators got a call from the lab confirming a hit on a distant cousin of the suspect. But unfortunately, they learned that the individual that they believe was responsible was deceased at the time. He had died in August of 2007. Investigators ordered a warrant to exhume the suspect's body and they learned that he had a long list of crimes similar to Reese's. Finally, in 2009, they learned the name of Reese's killer, and Jody was publicly and officially exonerated. His name was Curtis Edward Blair Sr. Curtis lived in North Carolina at the time of Reese's murder. He worked at the Frito-Lay factory, which was only 2 blocks away from Reese's grandparents' house. He had a criminal history of assault with deadly weapons and robberies. He had spent a lot of time in prison before and after the murder of Risa for unrelated charges. And though no arrests were able to be made because of his death, Reese's family was just grateful to know his name, grateful that Jody could live free, and felt safe once again knowing that he was long fucking gone. And at the end of the day, Jody stated, quote, I just want to say how thrilled me and my family are. It's been a long road, something that honestly, for many, many years, we did not think would happen. I think we can all walk down the street and look at people a lot differently now. That makes a big difference for me.
It's fucking so sad that she...
She got blamed at 13 years old.
84 to 2009.
When it was solved, 2017, 2019.
Oh.
2019. Yeah.
38
years?
35 years.
Yeah.
35 years of her life.
Yeah.
She's now 48 years old.
Yeah.
That's fucking terrible.
It's terrible.
So they don't know, like...
He wasn't
originally questioning, though. He was family in the area?
Mm-mm. He didn't have family in the area. He was just there for work. I think he was... A lot of his arrest records I was able to pull were in California and New York.
So when they say distant cousin, is it just like small town, everyone's probably fucking related?
No, his cousin had been, DNA had been put in the database.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I thought you meant Jody's.
No.
Reese's distant cousin.
No, Curtis, the...
So he was probably just walking home from work?
That's what they said, that he would have had to walk from his apartment, would have gone right past their house, and maybe...
Maybe she went over to
she
grandparents.
She was knocking
at the same
on the
time.
Door and looking around and came out and he saw her and just charged at her and took her inside.
Oh my God.
Just a crime of opportunity. Just at random.
What the fuck? Why do people like no what goes routine. Through your head?
I don't know. I actually recorded and documented me trying to process this because I don't understand. You know, no. Like I get You would have to fucking sedate me. Jody, like, needed to have that time to you don't have to cry to be mourning. Right. And that's a fucking issue. And yes, there's a stigma around it because it can mean that someone is guilty, but it also can mean that someone just is fucking numb.
Right. And I do feel like...
You'd have to fucking sedate me.
We see this in a lot of different cases, like... Lacey Peterson.
Yeah, exactly. With Scott.
He was unemotional.
Yep.
So
is he guilty
he was guilty. I feel
mourning
like,
different.
Right. And I feel like a grieving process, like we shouldn't, there should be some sort of law. I don't know though, because like part of me wants to say there should be some sort of like limitation of like, you cannot judge, assume off of emotion within 72 hours after a death.
Yeah.
Like something like that. But I mean,
well, it's just emotions should never be, because me and you have very different emotions. And
right.
Like you, if that was the case.
Yeah, I would.
And they were like watching back a fucking video of us. They'd be like, she's a sociopath.
Right.
Like Amelia,
yeah, exactly.
She doesn't
I'm
cry.
Crazy.
She's cried like once on the podcast. You know what yeah. I mean? They'd be like, the other one, she's fucking crazy. She cries all the fucking time. She could be our girl, you yeah. know? Either of them could. Because if you're over-emotional, then you're acting.
Right.
If you're not emotional enough, then you're
a sociopath.
A sociopath.
Right.
Right. And so, like, but for me, you would have to sedate me if this was my sister. You would have to have me barred up.
Right.
I don't think I could even attend. And I was talking to my mom about this. I was like, I don't know that I could attend my own sister's funeral. Because if a bitch walked up, if someone that I thought could possibly be guilty walked up, if someone who was a bitch to my sister walked up.
Hey, what the fuck are you doing here?
I would rip people's heads off, Morgan. But my little sister Phoebe will not cry in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it just makes me so upset too, because her poor mama is being ripped around mm-hmm. by police emotionally. They thought
her
daddy did
it.
They thought her daddy did it before yeah. that.
Any family member she was turned against.
Exactly. Everyone. She had to look. And I guess you have to look at everyone like that when it's like this. Because who would have thought that a random worker is walking home from the Frito-Lay factory and saw your daughter at random and took a crime of opportunity and did that to her? Your 15-year-old daughter in the safety of the yard that you were raised in and that you raised her in.
Mm-hmm.
How could you ever?
Yeah. It's fucking terrible.
See, exactly what we were saying. Me and you just went back and forth on how we would react at funerals because we don't know until you don't know until you're mourning.
Yeah. That's just so shitty. I mean, on everyone's part, but Jody's part specifically. I mean, her life was ripped away from her.
The fact that police didn't jump on that immediately and years ago exonerate her, knowing that there's no way she could have done this. They could have given her a polygraph test all those years ago, but they never did. They had her DNA. didn't come up on anything. They said that they found a fingernail that belonged to her. And she was like, yeah, it was my bedroom that I spent the night in over there.
Yeah.
Of course my finger. If you took a Swiffer to this floor, you'd find hair my fingernails, everywhere. Your fingernails, your hair, my nails, fake nails, DNA. Toenails, cat nails. You'd find everything and everything. Ollie hair. You'd mm-hmm. find a million things. I'm sure Aaron's hair is here.
Nikki's.
McKenna. Everyone. Sister-in-law and Bryce were just here. Morgan and Bryce were just here. You'd find their DNA. Like, seriously.
Yeah, I don't know how they even separate that now, because especially after COVID, everyone's hair's falling out.
Right.
But it's sad.
Are you sweating your balls off?
No.
I'm sweating.
I can't keep my eyes open, to be honest.
Yeah.
Burning.
All right, ladies and gents.
Love you, bitches.
Love you. Goodbye.